The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. The Word of Faith Netcast is, of course, on the air, and we're glad you could join us, and just glad you could join us today with the Netcast. It's a tremendous, exciting time here at Word of Faith Ministries. We've got so many things going on. As you can see, we are continuing to develop our set here and our studio, and we have a new technology that I'm sure you may have already noticed. The quality of the video and the quality of the audio has just shot up about 1,000 times because we now have a Canon Vixia HFR20 high definition video camera that we're shooting the netcast with, and we also are using this Audio Technica wireless microphone system that allows us to record the audio very high quality, don't have that hiss and noise in the background, and I'm just really excited about that. So I'm glad that we can make that available, and we're always shooting for excellence in ministry. We really want to continue to improve the netcast as best we can with all these technologies. And you know me, I'm just a techno kind of guy. I get into all the audio and video and so forth, and computer technologies that I work with. It's just exciting for me, so it's a blessing. Let me mention very quickly that Word of Faith Radio has a special event going on right now as I record this. Now, as I record this, this is Saturday, May the 7th, as I record this in my studio. So this event is already underway, and if you're listening to this as soon as this video is released, you may still have a chance to participate in this. But this is a live event from Word of Faith Radio. It will be airing Friday, which is, I recorded this was last night at 8 p.m., tonight at 7 p.m., May the 7th, and then Sunday morning, May 8th at 11 a.m., and Monday, May the 9th, is that right? Yeah, May 9th, kind of hard to read from here to the screen, at 8 p.m. Eastern. Those are all Eastern times, I should say, because, you know, we're Eastern time centric here, being on the Eastern time zone in North Carolina. But you can adjust that time for you throughout the world, and I know you listen throughout the world, to the Word of Faith Netcast. So, praise the Lord. Shekinah Glory, as I've said many times before, Shekinah Glory ministers in the Word and in the Spirit. So, they are a prime example of what we just got through ministering about in terms of operation of the spiritual gifts, being tuned in to the Holy Spirit and what He is doing in these days. They are on the move with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it's a tremendous meeting, and it is exclusive on WOFR. Praise the Lord. Now, we want to get into the Word of God today, and we've got a lot to cover, a lot to talk about. I would encourage you, once again, to go to our website, WOFM.org, and, you know, I'll put that here on the lower third of the screen. I really want to encourage you to go to the website, take advantage of the articles, take advantage of the audio that we have out there, the video that we have out there. We really want to make this available to you to minister the Word of God. You may be hearing this on YouTube. You may be catching it on the Blueberry network of Netcast. You may be catching it on just all kinds of other locations that we post this program. But our home, if you will, is WOFM.org, Word of Faith Ministries, .org, because we are a nonprofit Christian organization. And I would encourage you to check out the website because I really believe it will be a blessing for you. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4. We're starting a new study here. And I want to read Mark chapter 4. Let's start in verse 1. Jesus here, it says, he began again to teach by the seaside. And there were gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. In other words, sat on the ship that was on the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, this is the parable of the sower. That's what it's typically called, the parable of the sower. But what I want us to notice here as we read this is what is being sown and where is it being sown? Okay, what is being sown? Well, you say, well, that's a seed. Okay, hold that thought. And where is it being sown? Well, seeds are sown into the ground. All right, then what's the ground that he's talking about? Let's keep reading here. And it came to pass, this is verse 4, came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he's saying to the multitude, if you got ears to hear on the side of your head, hear this. Well, it's more than just ears on the side of the head he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual perception. Now, we just finished a study talking about being aware of the things of the Spirit, being tuned into the things of the Spirit, and being excited, zealous to receive the things of the Spirit. So, what we need to do is look at this from a spiritual perspective. That's why I say, what is he planting, and where is he planting it? Let him that has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we have ears, but we need spiritual ears. And that's the key to it here. When he was alone, this is verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Basically said, well, what does it mean? And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, know you not, or do you not understand this parable? How then will you know or understand all parables? And then verse 14, he begins to explain the parable. He takes away the mystery, and he reveals exactly what he's talking about, okay? So there's no excuse here. You need to understand this. It's right here in the Word of God. Mark 4, beginning in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. So remember I said, what is it we're sowing? We're sowing seed. What's the seed? The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. So put that, if you're writing notes, put that down as your first note. The seed he's talking about in Mark chapter 4 is the Word of God. Now we need to find out what ground he's talking about. So let's keep reading here, and it'll be revealed to us from the Word. Amen. These are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. When they have heard, so the hearing of the Word is the process by which the Word is sown. That's a key point. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So where is the word sown? In the human heart. What is the ground he's talking about? The human heart. Now, what is the human heart? The human heart is the human spirit. I'm going to adjust my microphone cable here because it's pushing it off of my ear. Praise the Lord. The human heart is the ground that he's talking about. Now, it's important to understand that, because if you don't understand that, you're going to miss the importance of this whole message. The seed is the Word of God. The ground is the human spirit. Now, your human spirit is what's called the heart of man. Heart meaning not the blood pump in your chest, but the core, the central issue of your life. You are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotions. You live in a physical body. That's called tripartite man. Three aspects. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Now, the spirit of man, the part of you that is the real you, that's the heart of the matter. God is interested in your heart. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. Praise the Lord. He doesn't look on, you know, the things that shoot through your mind, because that's the battlefield that Satan tries to drop thoughts into. What he looks at is the intent of your heart. Where are you coming from a heart perspective? Who are you at your heart, at your core? See, you talk about the rings of a tree. If you cut a tree crosswise and you see those rings, those concentric rings, you can count the number of rings and know the number of years of growth that that tree has had. Well, at some point, you get to the very bottom, you know, lowest, smallest area of the rings. That's the heart of a tree, the core of a tree. You take a watermelon, you cut it open, you get to the very center. That's the heart of the watermelon. Now, it's not a blood pump. It's the core. It's the most essential core aspect. Well, with a human, the essential core aspect of that human is their spirit man. They are a spirit, they have a soul, they live in a physical body. Now we tend to, unfortunately, humans, just general humans, now I'm not talking about Christians necessarily, general humans on the street, look at their lives as being a body. They sometimes may not even consider their mind that much, sadly, and they probably don't have any concept of their spirit. So they live very much on the physical realm. They're what's called carnally minded in the scripture. The word carne is a word that means meat. And so it's basically meat-headed. Brother Copeland makes that comparison sometimes. So, in other words, they're totally interested only in the flesh. Well, your flesh is not the real you. You are not just flesh. You live in a body, but you are a spirit and you have a mind. Now, your mind, this is another key point, your mind should be your possession. You should own your mind, not have your mind rule you. You see how I'm saying that? You are a spirit. You have a mind. See, I have a car. It's a Kia Rondo. Okay, that's just happens to be the car that I drive. I own that car. That's my car. When I get in the car, start it up, and start driving it with that steering wheel, I tell it where to go. It doesn't tell me where to go. Now, what would happen if I was, you know, driving down the highway at 60 miles an hour and I just said, well, hey, the car can drive itself. It really can't. I'm just going to let go of the steering wheel and let it go wherever it wants to go. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have a wreck. Absolutely, you are going to have a wreck. And why is that? Because you let it go its own way. Talking about the car, your possession. But since it is your possession, if you treat it as your possession, then you'll get in the car, you'll start it, you'll drive it, you'll pay attention, you won't be on your cell phone. Amen. You will pay attention to what you're doing, and your car will get you from point A to point B just like it's supposed to. It does what it's told. Well, it's the same thing with your mind. Your mind will do what it's told if you tell it what to do. You don't tell it what to do, it's going to just go its own way. It's going to drift off the road. It's going to have a wreck. Okay? You know, metaphorically speaking. So, what you need to do is take charge of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Get them in line with your spirit man, and your spirit man should be full of the Word of God. Your spirit man should be where the Word is planted. See, the Word is the seed. It's planted in the human spirit. And there it develops you as a believer. It develops you in your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. When you hear faith, when you receive faith, when it gets down into your spirit, when it gets in there in abundance, then you begin to speak out of the abundance of your heart and you have what you say. Amen? That's a whole lot of teaching in a very short time. But you've heard a lot of that information before. What I want you to go to now as we go back and look at this is how this process works. Again, let's go over our notes. What did we say? The seed is the Word of God that gets planted by hearing it, remember, into the human spirit. All right, let's go back and read that and make sure that that is what we're seeing from the scripture. Mark 4:14. The sower sows the word, so there's our seed. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown when they have heard. So it is sown by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, like I mentioned. So it's sown by hearing. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The heart is the human spirit. The heart is the core issue, the core matter in your life. You are a spirit. That's where the word is sown, and Satan tries to come and take the word out of your spirit. You need to stop him from doing that. We're going to get into that. Let's keep reading. Verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, notice they all heard the word. Every one of these in this scripture that's mentioned in this example, they all heard the word. That's a key point because, again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the entrance to the human spirit, is the hearing. Now you may say, well, but Dr. Bill, I read the word. What about what comes through my eyes? Well, that's good. That's information. But faith comes by hearing. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Not having heard. Now, we'll say this. Faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Okay? Over and over and over. So you need to be constantly hearing the word of God. You need to be constantly receiving from the word of God. If you don't, you're in danger of being one of those who have heard and are merely acting on mental assent of the word and not on faith from the word. Ooh, amen. There's a Selah moment right there. Did you get that? If you only act on what you have heard, you are in danger of acting on what you have heard of the word, which is going to be end up being mental assent, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, constant input of the word into your spirit. The faith comes and empowers what you say from that. So you need to be constantly hearing the word of God. Amen? Amen. Need to get this. Oh, you need to get this. I'm telling you. Okay. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they've heard the word, immediately they receive with gladness. Hey, they're happy. They heard the word. But they have no root in themselves. Now, again, we're comparing this system to a system of the seed planted in soil that is watered and nurtured and cared for. And then it grows up and establishes a root system. That establishment of a root system is really the key to what we're talking about here. You need to have an established root system of the word in your life. You need to get down deep into your spirit with the word of God. Plant it as a seed, but then let it get root down in there. How do you do that? Watering it, tending it, nurturing it, hearing it, and hearing it, and hearing it. That's the best way to nurture the word of God in your life. Amen. All right, let's keep reading. Let's go back to verse 17. They have no root in themselves. They endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction, that's thlipsis in the Greek, it means pressure. When pressure comes, when persecution arises for the word's sake. For the word's sake. Now, why does it come for the word's sake? You'd think, looks like it'd be coming for my sake. No, no, no. Satan, listen closely to this. This will help you. Satan doesn't really care anything about you personally. He wants to see you fall. He wants to see you fail, but not because he has anything against you personally. He has something against everybody because he hates everybody, but I'm saying it's not a personal vendetta against you. It is that you, as a container of the Word of God and as an instrument of God in the earth, as an ambassador of God here on the earth, if the word gets into you and empowers you, you're dangerous to Satan's operation. Amen? You become dangerous to Satan's operation once the word of God is rooted and grounded in you. So he wants to take it away for the word's sake. He wants to stop it because of the word of God being in your life, not because of you personally. All right? And if you understand that, you won't get into this, oh, woe is me business. Oh, why is Satan always out to get me? He doesn't care about you. He wants to stop the word. And you ought to get righteously indignant over that. You ought to get mad as a hornet. Satan, what in the world are you doing messing with me because I'm a container of the word of God? Bless God, the word of God's going to go forth in the earth. And it's going to go forth through me because I'm going to stay with the word. Get tough with him. Amen. You know, you get an attitude when it comes to Satan. That's the only area you can get an attitude in, is when it comes to Satan. Amen. Excuse me. I got to catch my throat there. At any rate, that's the area that you can get an attitude, is dealing with Satan. Amen. All right. They have no root in themselves, endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, they have no root in themselves. They endure for a time because at least the seed germinated. It grew to a certain extent, but it didn't have root system. It didn't have grounding. So they endure for a time, but afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, in other words, once again, the word's sake, immediately they're offended. Now let me say something here about offense. Offense. Don't be quick to offend. Walking in love with people means that you need to be immune from offense. Oh, I know a lot of folks don't want to hear that, but it's absolutely the truth. You need to be immune from offense. Too many people are easily offended. They looked at me funny. They didn't like my shoes. They didn't like my hair. Now let me tell you something about your shoes and your hair. They don't mean a thing, spiritually speaking. In this life, maybe people pay attention to those things. But a million years from now, in the spirit, nobody will even remember what shoes they were wearing or what their hair looked like. So don't get offended by these silly, human, fleshly things. How people look at you, what they said, what they didn't say, how they shook your hand, were they wimpy, did it feel like a wet dish rag, was it too tough and strong and hurt your hand? People get offended over dumb things. People get offended for reasons that are purely flesh-oriented. And offense is contrary to your Christian walk and your Christian life. These folks were offended, and because of that, they lost out spiritually. Let's keep reading here. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. There's that hearing of the word again. But then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entered in and choked the word, and it, the word, became unfruitful. My. Think about that. The word of God, the power of God, the word, the whole universe is upheld by the power of his word. But the word of God became unfruitful because of these elements that occurred in their natural life. Let's look at them. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entered in. Now that's a key point. You can be hit with the temptation of care in this world. You can be hit with the temptation of the deceitfulness of riches. You can be hit with a temptation for lust of all kinds, whether it's a sexual lust or whether it's a lust after money or whatever. You can be hit by that and it not enter in to your spirit, and it will not impede the operation of the word of God in your life. It's those that allow it to enter in that have these problems. Another Selah moment. Because you need to realize that these things are going to attack you. Satan has plots, plans, and schemes. He has devices that he uses to try to stop you in your Christian walk. And these are some of the major ones. Lusts of other things. See, it's one thing to have an extreme desire for the Word of God. Amen. That's a great thing. But these other things, natural things, we've already talked about this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. But don't let the lusting for the things draw you away from the Word of God. Amen? Cares of this world. How am I going to make my house payment? How am I going to make my car payment? Oh, Dr. Bill, you just don't understand. See, all of that are cares of the world and the world system. And it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. So, guard against that. And then this other point, the deceitfulness of riches. I want to spend just a moment about the deceitfulness of riches. You can have a problem with deceitfulness of riches and have not a dime to your name, not two pennies to rub together. Because deceitfulness of riches is the thought that if I just had enough money, then all my troubles would be over. If I just had a new car, then my life would be better. If I just had a new house, then my life would be better. That's deceitfulness of riches. Those things deceive you into being a problem. And people are caught up with finances that literally, in the natural, don't even have a financial issue to deal with. Really. They have a good job. They have a nice house. They got a perfectly good car that gets them to work. They're doing fine. But they let the deceitfulness of riches in. They let it enter into their heart, and then they start having all these crazy problems. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? Credit card debt. All kinds of mess in their life. And if you study this out, you will find that the biggest problem in marriage stems from financial issues. The deceitfulness of riches. And really, if you look at it, deceitfulness of riches, lust after other things, and the cares of the world. That's the big dangers when it comes to marriage. Things that wedge between people and drive them apart. So don't let it enter in. Don't let it get a grip. Don't let it take hold in your life. If you'll stop it, then you will be successful. You will be successful naturally. You'll be successful in your marriage. You'll be successful in your spiritual life if you'll do that. Amen? Well, we're out of time. We're going to have to go. But before I do, I want you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. That's Word of Faith Ministries. P.O. Box 5213, High Point, North Carolina, 27262. And of course, you can always write us at our email address. My email address, of course, is drbill, drbill, at wfm.org. Join us again next week, and remember until then to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.